Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, as you know by now, the Mining Indaba, 31st edition of it, is taking place here in the city of Cape Town. And we've been on the ground since Monday, making sure that we bring you the latest updates in terms of developments here. And as we know, there's been a plethora of conversations. If you look at the program and even some of the conversations we've been privy to, not only have we heard updates in terms of the current state of mining across the African continent, interventions and solutions that are being sought, especially when it comes to enhancing the level of investment on the continent, but also ensuring that the environment is conducive to growth. And that speaks to the use of technology, the involvement of communities, making sure that there is adequate funding, even reviews on some of the legislature, ultimately providing an opportunity for us to see a heightened level of performance within the mining space. Last night, we also gave you some insight into a few of the agreements that have been put in place by some of the mining houses. And tonight, we thought we'd give you an update on several themes. First, we'll start off by reflecting on a conversation that was held on the sidelines. One that was a conversation between the representative of the Royal Bafokeng, who actually occupy and are descendants and participants within the Platinum Belt in Rustenburg. And they had a one-on-one specifically with Frans Baleni, well-known former unionist, but now also sits on the advisory council of the Africa Mining Indaba. In the exchange, they brought up some significant themes that need to be brought to the fore as to how best communities can actually establish themselves as key stakeholders, but also shareholders within mining operations, and how, in practical terms, some of these models can be considered to be implemented within other mining communities across the African continent. My colleague, Sinenjabulo Sibeko, the star producer of the show, managed to catch up on the sidelines with Khosi Leruo Tshekedi Molokegi, who is the king of the Royal Bafokeng, to get some insight from him regarding his lessons and learnings in being a key player in the mining industry.
Kaya Biz.
This is Kaya Biz.
With Guletu Mfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
Why was it important for you to prioritize, you know, diversification beyond just the mining, especially the impact it has on the community?
Yeah, so every mine comes to, you know, the end of its life. And after 8 years of mining, we are getting closer to the end of life of the mines. Some predict it will be 30, maybe 40 years. But even then, there's going to be some significant, you know, like scaling down, you know, for operations. Some shops are going to close. People are going to, you know, lose jobs. So 20 years ago, we embarked on this process of investing in non-mining assets. Again, anticipating, you know, sort of the end of the life of the mines. And so today, our portfolio from being 100% dependent on mining in 2000, we are down to about 4% of the portfolio now is mining. The 96% is, you know, diversified in sectors such as energy, oil and gas, financial services, property, telecommunications, you know, and etc. And that process, you know, continues. So the idea, again, was to secure, you know, our revenue so we can continue with our social programs, whether it's building of schools, building of, you know, roads, provision of water, security, you know, etc.
King, I have to commend you for your ability to communicate. I think earlier you spoke about how, you know, communicating to the community, the issues of moving their assets from, you know, the community to a trust was a process that took about 10 years. Basically, I just have to commend you for that. But I think the bigger question is, you also spoke about how you're always willing to give off information on how other mining communities can duplicate what you're doing in Pokeng. The question is, you've done it so well, but when these leaders or other people come to you for consultation, why is it so difficult to duplicate what you're doing somewhere else?
Well, I can't speak for other communities, but what I've observed is there are a lot of challenges, you know, within the leadership, you know, structure, and that's the center that holds everything together. So that is something that they themselves have to resolve. And once resolved, we can then come in and say, this is how it, you know, can possibly be, you know, be executed. But as you're saying, yeah, if you're unable to communicate, you know, the ideas, concepts, especially to like normal, you know, the men on the street, it's very difficult to, you know, to move forward. That's why it took us so long to put everything in place. But it also goes beyond just the communication. It was also getting sound advice. Do you have the right structures? Are they tax efficient? Have you complied with, you know, legislation and so forth? So that was a full 10-year process.
Last question, and I think the most important one. You said in the session that there's a perception that you were given, and it's a bad position because you actually had to fight for it. Just briefly, if you can just elaborate on what that means and why that is so important for people to understand.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier on, we've been fighting with the mining companies for ever and a day. With Impala, we had a legal case that went on for 15 years. With Anglo in the 50s, like similarly. With the successive governments from the National Party to Bob, if you can think of it as government, including the African National Congress government, we've had many challenges. And so it really takes that concerted effort, the determination by leadership to fight for, you know, what he believes. Without which, I can confidently say that we could have lost, you know, our mineral rights, especially post-94. That was, I think, the biggest threat that we ever faced. So if I take the National Party, the Bob governments put together, their threat was significantly smaller compared to what happened, you know, like post-94.
Kayabiz. This is Kayabiz.
With Guletum Fupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and we continue bringing you highlights of the conversations taking place here at the 31st annual Investing in Africa Mining Indaba. The previous conversation was one held by my colleague Sinenjabulo Sibeko, who was speaking to the king of the Royal Bafokeng, Khosi Leruo Moletlegi, giving us some insight into not only their participation in the mining industry, but even their diversification strategy once the useful life of a mine does happen to come to an end. Just for clarity and context, in case you had forgotten, Royal Bafokeng Platinum Mine, which was listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, was eventually sold to Impala Platinum. At the time, there was a bit of a back and forth between other contenders in the market, not only Impala Platinum, but another key player that actually wanted to acquire, Northern Platinum, wanted to acquire the business.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.